All right, everybody. Hi, everybody. My name is Paul Manatic. I want to congratulate everybody on picking up some clean time up in here. We do recover, don't we? Yeah. Man, I'm in. Where am I? Altoona, PA. All right. Yeah. My name is Paul Manatic. And I'm going to ask that we can reopen the meeting with a moment of silence. So I can get out of the way. I can let God do what God do. I find that when I do that, usually he shows up and I get out of the way. Can we have that moment now, please? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. All right. All right. I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm not too happy with the Steelers right now. You know, but you know, we have faith. We're gonna try to have some faith, right? Yeah. You know. One thing about, you know, it's kind of strange that I brought that up in my opening statement, because when I was out using, I smoked crack. For 20 years straight. And the blessing is, on November 26th, I just celebrated 20 years clean. Yes, sir. We do recover. When I got here, they told me that it was available to me too. And I didn't understand a lot of things when I first got here. You know, and they told me, like, I can use this program long before I even understand it. That's what the literature says. So how do I do that? If I don't understand the program, how do I use this program long before I understand it? Well, they told me when I got here that this was a simple program for complicated sick people like myself. So the simplicity of coming here when I first got here and using this program long before I understand it was just doing the basics, right? Going to a meeting, getting a sponsor, going to a meeting, getting a sponsor, calling the sponsor, going to a meeting, calling my sponsor, start participating in a home group, right? Because they said if you don't have a home group, you're homeless. So we need to feel to be, I need to feel a part of, because like I was saying, when I was out there smoking crack for 20 years, it's kind of strange that the Pittsburgh Steelers have so much influence and power, you know, that we cherish them so much. Out of 20 years of smoking crack, I always found a way to watch this damn Steeler game. Right. I stole from my mother. I committed robbery. You too. But I somehow found a way to watch the damn Steeler game. I don't know what that was about, but I really believe that, you know, culturally in society, the Steelers have a major pull on us. And that's okay, because that's what we do. We root for that team. And I love the Steelers. You know, I'm a little bit scared right now, but we're going to keep moving. So, like I said, I come from Pittsburgh, the South Side, and Beltsuver. There was like, my mother was like this big. She was like 5 foot. She was raising 12 kids by herself. 7 boys, 5 girls. You know, and I know that my topic is living the program. I'm gonna get to that. You know, it was different. I don't know if anybody was like the invisible child if they was in a big family, I was in a big family. I was like the invisible child. I was the child that nobody paid attention to because I wasn't doing real bad and I wasn't doing real good. I was just always in the middle. And so my mom didn't have enough time to long as I wasn't getting into trouble, she wasn't worried about me. Well, I was worried about me. And my dad wasn't around. He was from New York in the Bronx. And, that was a revelation for me when I did my fourth step, like how much I wanted my father around. And I'll get into that and how this program starts to break the cycle of fathers not being in children's lives, at least in my life. I decided that what I was going to do, I was like, well, since I'm not getting no attention, I'm going to create some shit. Can I cuss in here? Since I'm not getting no attention, I'm going to create some stuff. Because my little brother, he got all the attention because he was always in trouble. So I said, well, shit, if I do something to get in trouble, maybe I'll get some attention. You know, when you're young like that, you know, I was really looking for my dad, but all I wanted was somebody to pay me some money. And my mom, she just couldn't do it. So I decided, like, I wasn't going to school anymore. My mom was like this big. Now, I told you she was short, right? So my mom had to think of different ways to discipline the boys. And so I'm in bed one day. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning. And I know some people in here is old school. 5 o'clock in the morning, we didn't get switched. We got what extension cords. Anybody remember that? Extension cords. I'm sleeping and she comes in and she's just whopping me. And I'm like, mom, what are you doing? And she's like, you don't want to go to school. You don't want to go to school. But I didn't know that I was an addict, man. I didn't know nothing about why I was being the way that I was. Even though when she whooped me with that extension cord, I was still locked and loaded that I'm not going to school. I didn't understand that that was addictive behavior way back then. Y'all, you know when we talk about having a fixed idea. And when I first got here, my sponsor said, boy, you love them fixed ideas, and I do. Y'all know what we do. We meet a girl and then we're like, she's going to be my wife. And then I only known her a week and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Fixed idea. You know, and what I found out is like, during the step work, it had nothing to do with her. It had nothing to do with her. Me thinking that she was going to be my wife. It had nothing to do with her. It was all me. I was using her in my mind so I didn't have to deal with whatever I was feeling and going through. It's just like the dope, right? Instead of not picking up the dope, and I'm not talking about picking up a body for sex, I'm talking about not picking up the dope, but picking up a fixed idea in my mind. Not knowing that the disease of addiction's job is to distract me. So if I picked up a fixed idea in my mind, I'm distracted, and now the disease of addiction got me, and I don't even know it. You know why I don't know it? Because I'm all in over here. I'm all in. It isn't until I come to Narcotics Anonymous and I start doing some work and I start unraveling and start pulling the pieces back and be like, damn, it's me. When you stay here long enough, man, you realize that it's me. I'm talking about the longer I stay here, the more I realize it's me. The more I wake up to the realities that it was me all along. I was given a lead one time, and this is the truth, man. I was given a lead one time, and God spoke to me in the middle of the lead. He was like, "That's not true, Paul." I said, "That's not true." I was like, because I was talking about my son's mother, and you know, and he said, "Paul, you didn't love her. You did not give her what she needed. Even though she was using, you did not give her what she needed." And what I check this out, the disease is insidious, right? So what I did to try to justify that, I said, "But God, she was using. And I couldn't afford to give my heart to her because she was using." God said, "That's not true." God said, "You was afraid to let your heart be felt." Till this day, with 20 years clean, I still struggle with allowing somebody inside me, inside my heart. That's why I'm single today. One of the reasons. In Narcotics Anonymous, I can hug you, I can love you, I can hug you and talk to you, and wherever meeting I go to, I can hug people. But like in the way that I dress, you know, what I do is sometimes I would use the clothes that I put on to keep you at a distance from me. So if you feel inferior about the way that I dress and you don't dress like this, you might just stay away from me. There's so many ways this damn disease attacked me that if I don't continue to do the work, I will be distracted and lost. And I'm afraid that one of these days, if I stop doing the work, and that's why I keep coming here, because I know I came in in November 26, 2004, and it was like the last of the old timers, and it was the start of like this new, if you call it new Narcotics Anonymous, quote, quote. I came in like the tail end of the old timers, and the old timers, they weren't about the Philly stuff. My sponsor didn't care about my feelings. And I was like, that's kind of tough, don't you think? So I remember going to a meeting one time because my dad was not in my life. So I'm going to the meeting. I got my sponsor. I'm going to meet, and he was taking me to meetings. Every day he would take me to meetings. And I just assumed that I was going to get in the van and, you know, after the meeting was over. And he did it for like, I say about 5 weeks. And one day we was at this big meeting on Center Avenue, and the meeting was over. And man, I'm talking about, we stay here long enough, we start to, more is revealed about who I am and what happened to me. And so the meeting's over, and I'm getting ready to get in his van. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What are you talking about? Getting in the van." He said, "No, you're not." I said, "What? I didn't understand what he said. You're not coming with me." I said, "But you brought me here." He said, "And?" He said, "Find your way home. You've been here for 5 weeks. I want you to do connect with other people and find your way home." It was just like a little kid that's scared to fly. I felt just like that. I was like, ooh. I felt kind of, I was like, what am I going to do? And guess what I did? I asked somebody to take my ass home. And guess what? They took me home. That's what this program offers, right? You get to the meeting, somebody will take you home. That's the love of Narcotics Anonymous. But when I first came in here, I didn't know that. I was smoking crack by myself in my mother's house in the basement, because I was one of those ones that didn't like to share nothing. And it was weird because, they talk about isolation. It's weird because I didn't really mind giving somebody something that wasn't really the issue. The issue is that I really wanted to be by myself with the disease, all by myself. Anybody like that? I wanted to be with the disease all by myself. I remember being on my mother's floor like this. I was one of those carpet guys. I wasn't no peeping out the window guy. I was a carpet guy. And I'm talking about carpet guy. I'm talking about digging in. I mean, we laugh about that, but 20 years later, I look at that and I'm like, oh my God. Wow. Wow. Look where God brought me from. We're talking about the degradation. Digging in the rug. Listen, for 3-4 hours straight. Nonstop. Nothing's there. Can't stop. And I like that shit. I like that. I like being... having a spirit in me that says you are dead. I didn't know that when I came to Narcotics Anonymous that I was going to stay here long enough to look back and see that I was spiritually dead. Not alive as you see me in this moment. I'm alive. Feel good. My spirit's alive. My sponsor said to me, I had 3 sponsors on this 20-year journey. My first one, he passed away. And the first thing, and I was telling Chris, and by the way, I want to thank y'all for having me come up here and speak. It's an honor. I really appreciate, you know, Chris asking me to come up. But my first sponsor, the first thing that he said to me, I had 60 days, he said, before you start this journey, I want you to know something about the disease of addiction. By the way, we come in here to recover and we do recover, but my sponsors taught me that I need to learn about the disease of addiction and how it attacks me. And he said to me, he said, Paul, the disease of addiction's main job is to distract you. That's its main job. Now, how it distracts me comes in many different ways and many different forms. So I remember, like, I got here, and I was nervous. I was scared. Narcotics Anonymous embraced me. And I remembered I came in, like, with, like, 5 different people. And I'm trying to connect this to my childhood when my dad wasn't there. So I went and played football. I went and played baseball. I went and played basketball. And there was I had a big family. And I went and played all these sports all by myself. I remember every day leaving the house, going to the football field, going to the basketball field, going to the baseball team, and walking back and forth in every game I'm talking about 10 years, eight. I played for like 8 years, 10 years. And not one family member came to see me play. That ever happened to anybody? Not one. I was trying to do the right thing. And all I can remember is like, why is this happening to me? Where is my father? Because I knew my mother was doing the best she could. But I said, where is my father? Because I don't know how to navigate these feelings, these emotions. And I later learned that, like, and I'm tying it to when my sponsor told me that I can't get into the van after the meeting. What had happened is that I gravitated towards him, and he was my first sponsor, but I looked at him as my father. I didn't want to tell him that I was looking at him as my father because I didn't have a father. I later found out, and I kept that a secret. Guess what they what do they say in Narcotics Anonymous? Secrets what? Keep you sick. There's something about keeping a secret, because when I was in the streets, man, you know, I remember, I think I had like a year or so clean, and I'm in my first apartment. Is it the house that I'm in? The house that I'm in today. And I'm in the all my brothers box. They box golden gloves, silver gloves. So I'm in the bathroom and I'm boxing in the mirror. And this, I'm talking about, what I'm going to talk about is how God, through Narcotics Anonymous, saved my life. God, through Narcotics Anonymous, saved my life. So I'm in the mirror and I'm shadow boxing. I think I had like a year or so clean. And God said, once again, he said, what are you doing? I said, you know, I don't trust these NA people. You know, I never know. I think I might got to. God said, look what he said to me. He said, you don't need that anymore. He said, you're not in the crack house anymore. You're not stealing on the streets anymore. You're not trying to get a Vic anymore. You don't need that anymore. Can you imagine what we do when all I know is the one thing to keep me safe is to protect myself, because daddy wasn't there. My brothers and them was out doing their thing. I'm all alone. I'm really scared. So I put on this mask. And I'm boxing in the mirror, and God said, you don't need it no more. I'm like, you crazy, God, that's all I got to protect myself. God said, trust me. I got you. Woo! 20 years of smoking crack, being in the jail, going to penitentiary, and you want me to give up the only thing that keeps me from feeling that little boy who's scared to death? You want me to give up the mask and trust you through Narcotics Anonymous? Kept going to meetings. I said, okay, I'm going to take a leap of faith. And what I wanted to get back to was, like, I came in with a bunch of guys. And so any newcomers here, I came in with a bunch of guys, like six of us. And, like, I think after 60 days, somebody used. And he left. And I'll never, ever forget. 20 years later, I still remember the feeling. Because we came in together. He used, and I remember saying, damn, I want to go with him. Till this day, I still remember that feeling. That's why it was important to keep going to meetings, have a sponsor. That's why they tell us to have a sponsor, keep going to meetings, because we don't know when we're going to need Narcotics Anonymous to show up for us. I found out that Narcotics Anonymous is a place that teach me how to deal with adversity. That teaches me how to deal with when I didn't, the streets said you could rumble, you could fight, you could shoot, you could stab, you could rob. Narcotics Anonymous says, we can't use them old rules in this new way of life.
Wow.
Now what do I do? I'm going to get my ass in that literature. I'm going to latch on to my sponsor. I'm going to increase my meetings. You know why? You know why? I'm just going to be honest. Can I be honest? Because I'm scared to death. I don't want to smoke crack no more. At first, that's why I did it. At first, it was just strictly because I was tired of being on the block. For 20 years, my mom raised us in the church, raised me to be a good kid, and I'm in an abandoned house with set and shit all over me. And I didn't want to smoke crack no more. But then they told me, Paul, that's just the beginning. There's a whole lot of work to do. I'm like, what? If you would have told me that I was going to, the crackhead was going to become the patriarch of the family, if you would have told me that the crackhead, who initially as a kid wanted to be a police officer, because some of y'all's old, remember the orange belt, safety belts? Some of y'all old heads can relate. I remember, because I wanted to be good, right? So I sold the cookies and I got the safety belt, man. And this was the first time that I came to this understanding. No, I'm sorry. I didn't understand the disease of addiction, but it was the first revelation, the first experience that I can look back on and be like, wow. So I worked my butt off to get that safety belt. I wanted that safety belt. I wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to help people. I didn't want to be where my brothers and sisters were. I didn't want to be out in the streets. I knew what they was doing. Growing up in the hood, you don't have to be out in the streets to know what they're doing. Right. I didn't want to end up. Man, look, this was 2 weeks ago, 20 years clean. 2 weeks ago, I cried in my bed for the first time, connected to the fact that I failed. Meaning that I did not want, out of 20 years clean, that peace that I did not want to accept that I was an addict. And I cried, God hit me. And I cried. I was still holding on to the little boy's dream of being a good kid, 20 years in recovery, man. That's how deep the wounds go. Even doing the step work, I was still holding on. And I got to tell y'all, man, when I was in my bed and I was crying, and man, I felt so free. I finally let go of the dream. Yeah. 20 years clean. And I embrace now. Now I'm in a different level of recovery because I let go of the dream, the little boy's dream. But y'all told me lost dreams are awakened here. So I wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to help people. Years later in Narcotics Anonymous, I went back to school for 8 years and became a therapist to help people. But the journey, living the program, the journey, man, I look at it like there's always two paths, one journey. I can take this path. And I'm not talking about using. I'm talking about clean. And I know y'all all can relate. And take this path, the consequences, recovery. One journey. No user. One journey. So I end up, I think I had like 2 years clean. The girl come walking by. She had like a pop bottle body. I was like, goodness gracious. I think I had 2 years clean. And she gonna act like she didn't see me. I said, I know you didn't. I rolled up on her. I said, are you for real? And look, what'd you say? Did I roll up on her?
I did. But I did not that in that moment. So I'm in the car with my second sponsor, Lindsay. He passed away too. You know, man, people died, and they died clean. Two sponsors died clean. And they were young. One was cigarettes, man. That's why I got a resentment towards cigarettes. He was a good-looking man. Cigarettes, man. He smoked them cigarettes. Y'all can tell I still got that, ugh. He died. I watched him die in the bed, man. And I'm like, Sean. And he's like, ooh, he was a, back then, man, when people got 30 years in them, they weren't Philly, man. He's in his deathbed, and I'm like crying, and he's going like this. I'm like, you mother. And he's literally dying. But one thing, I didn't understand that he had got to a place that Narcotics Anonymous gave him the ability to have some faith, and he was okay where he was going. Narcotics Anonymous gives us so many blessings and so many gifts, and it's all spiritually connected. So I'm in the car with my second sponsor, and the same girl, she come walking by. And I said, oh my God. The first thing he says to me, I'm talking about the journey. There's always two paths, one journey. Mm. The first thing he says to me, he says, Paul, don't do it. Y'all are unequally yoked. Don't do it. I'm new in recovery. Man, look, we're going to make mistakes in recovery, man. We two paths. Just don't use. There's not a person in here, not a person in the whole Narcotics Anonymous that's perfect. It says that in our literature. So he says, don't do it, right? The first thing to come out my mouth. Because I'm, guess what? Fixated. I'm locked and loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, I got to have her. I got to have her. Look, did you see how I said it? I got to have her. If the world's going to an end, I still got to get her. Man. And I got her. I got her. And I got everything that came with her. The newcomer, inability, she didn't even have her own place, no money, nothing, and I got her. I thought I'd have hit the jackpot. Until y'all know we'll be talking about the relationships once the representative, y'all know about the representative, right? Man, my sponsor I got before this one, he used to always tell me, he said, Paul, you are a master at self-deception. Mm. I convinced that I had a prize, I didn't even want to know that she didn't have no money. I didn't even want to know that she didn't have a place. It didn't matter to me. After my sponsor's telling me, Paul, don't do it. Who's in here stubborn like me? Stubborn. Thank God for the gift of recovery, man. Thank God for his grace, man. You know that I still had the desire to stay clean. And before I go on real quick, I want to say this. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, it was because I didn't have my two oldest daughters. They were down south, and they came to Pittsburgh. It was a mess, man. I was a mess. And before they was leaving, my oldest daughter, if anybody is the oldest child, I really feel for you. The oldest child always has the most resentment because they got to be the buffer between me, this fucked up parent, and the younger child, because they're trying to protect their little siblings. And so they're going to take the stuff from the active addict parent just so
the other sibling don't got to feel all of it. So they're willing to take it. The older siblings always have the most resentments, man. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. And so she says, I look bad and she says, where you want, like in my culture, African-American culture, I don't care if I'm on crack looking like a piece of crack, piece of doo-doo. You don't disrespect me culturally. You don't do this in my culture. And she says, where do you want to be dropped off at? Oh. I said, no, you didn't. And in that moment, this is my oldest daughter. You got to understand, my oldest daughter is one of those that don't let nobody see them hurt. She don't cry. And in that moment, I was about to snap back at her. God interrupted and started my process on recovery. And I looked at her and I said, oh my God. I looked through her mask. I looked through her mask because she was hurt just like I was hurt when my daddy wasn't there. And she wasn't trying to let me know that I hurt her. And God let me see through the mask. And I was just coming off a crack too, man. That's a miracle. And I started to cry. And I said, Erica, you will never, ever, ever, ever see me like this again. That was the last day that I used. And I went to Western Psych. Anybody know about Western Psych? Yeah. Yeah. We used to go to Western Psych just to get a relief, you know what I'm saying? Get that 3 days rest and some meat food in us. They was tired of seeing my ass. I was there 27 times. 27. And I'm a mental health therapist today. We do recover. Yes, we do. We do recover. 27 times. And I remember going into that after my daughter said what she said, and I cried, and I told her, you'll never see me like that again. I went into Western Psych, and they was tired of seeing me. This lady, as soon as I got upstairs, because they make you wait downstairs for almost 2 days before they put you upstairs into a bed. As soon as I got upstairs, she was waiting for my ass. As soon as I came in the room, she said, we don't have no outpatient for you. We don't have nothing for you. And I was like, all I want to do is get some rest for 2 days. This is where my journey really started. I was sleeping. And I'm going to share this spiritual experience with you guys. I was sleeping. And I'm telling you, God, angel, whoever put two hands up under me and lifted me, not physically, lifted me and said, because of my grace. Just like that. Because of my grace. I mean, it was like he lifted me, delivered me. That's why I know that it wasn't me. Delivered me in that moment. He said, because as he's saying it, I mean, all you had to be there as because of my grace. The next day I woke up, that same lady came to me. It's been like a dream ever since. And said, we got a place for you. And they sent me to this OR center. And it wasn't a rehab or nothing. It was like it was all they had left for old folks where people was getting ready to die and medical problems. And they sent me to this OR center. And I went. And there was a guy from Philadelphia there. He worked there. And I don't even eat candy. But he caught me with some candy. He said, Paul, I caught you with some candy twice. Now I got to write you up. Y'all know how addicts feel about getting written up. We hate that stuff, man. And y'all know what I said, right? What did I say? What's our national anthem? Fuck you. I'm out of here. That's our national anthem. Am I right? Fuck you. I'm out of here. The disease of addiction had me. Just like that. fuck you, I'm out of here. And I'm getting ready to leave, man. And the same guy that wrote me up said, Paul, before you leave, I'm from Philadelphia. I just came here and I know that I've been going to this church. Would you go with me? Nigga, didn't you just write me up? See, you see how God works? Mm-hmm. He just wrote me up. It was the same way with my two daughters that came down south because their mother had relapsed and I was going to get it. I was going to get her back and call CYF, but instead I went and got the car that she rented out and I got it back and I told them to get out of here because I did the right thing. So I'm presented with this option. And I'm like, this is how I know that God was working. Because I'm like, my mother, remember, Paul, your mother dragged y'all to churches all throughout the whole city for years. And I thought about my mother. And that's why I said I went winning. And when I went there, this is my story. I went there and the pastor preached on, do you want to see clearly? And he preached the most powerful service I ever. And I say, I am in. I'm in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm here to stay. It was confirmation because I had already had a sponsor. It was God's confirmation. Like, this is where I'm bringing you to Narcotics Anonymous. It says that in our third step. If you're here, the God of the understanding brought you here. It's in the literature. It's in the third step. If you're here, the God of your understanding brought you here. And I was like, wow. So back to the girl that I had 2 years clean. I had my first apartment and she got pregnant. And we prayed that day that she said, I'm pregnant. We prayed we kneeled down and we prayed. The relationship was toxic. She couldn't stay clean. It was me, her, and my son, beautiful son. But I wanted to stay clean. I wanted to stay clean. I wanted to stay clean. But I got somebody here, my kid's mother, who is using, and she's going to the methadone clinic and I want to stay clean. And she'll be on the couch nodding. My son's looking at her. And guess what I did? I said, son, I love you. I didn't think she was going to harm him or nothing. I'm going to a meeting. And that's what I did. I went to a meeting, left my son with her. I'm going to a meeting. The power of Narcotics Anonymous, you ever go to a meeting and you're all feeling all terrible inside. And when the meeting's over, the circumstances didn't change, but I changed. Yeah. Yes. Circumstances are still the same, but now I feel like I can handle it a whole lot differently. Something had happened in the meeting that I was like, wow, you know what? I feel like I can do this. I'm sharing my experience. And I got strength from Narcotics Anonymous. That's where I got my strength from. So I go back to the house and I do whatever I need to do. And when she did it again, guess what? I'm going to a meeting. They told me that staying clean must come first. That's what they told me. Staying clean must come first, Paul. So that's what I did. 9 years into the process, we're at the mall, got the call from her mother. My son loved his mother. She loved him. He loved her. Got the call. She gone. I had to break it to him right there in the mall. With me and my, because I had another kid. I got a daughter now. And me, her, and him. I said, son, your mom's in the hospital and she's not going to make it. Can you imagine telling a 9-year-old that? and he just broke. It was so hard. And I broke. My daughter broke. We sat on that bench for like an hour. And he could have went left. He was hurt. He was angry. He could have went left. Today, my son is getting ready to go to college. Yes. As a single father, I've raised him, and I had another child in recovery. I make babies. That's why I'm single, because I'm like, oh, hell no. I may look young, but I'm old, but I can make babies, and I know that. And that's why I'm like, you got to be 43. Maybe 45 nowadays. Shit. Hey, you know, when the pain get great enough, we do something different, right? But I got to stay here long enough to feel the pain. Because I can do the step work. I can get some understanding, but they said I got to get some experiences and some evidence for myself that, Paul, you're a hardhead. And when the pain get great enough, then you'll do something different if you don't want to use. And that's what I did. So I know I'm getting ready to wind down, but when I think I had 2 years clean. No, let me get two quick stories. So I had like 6 months from that Aura Center, this program came out of the blue. I'm talking about God lifted me up and said, because of my grace, the next day she said, we got a place for you. Next thing you know, this person from UPMC, never seen before, head of UPMC HUD, come and see me and says, we're going to get you an apartment of your own. I was like, what? A crackhead? Never had, no. You're going to give me my own apartment? I've been smoking crack for 20 years. You're going to give me my own place? He said, yes, we are, Paul. I said, okay. He said, okay, we're going. Nice place, too. Not in the hood. It was a nice place. And he said, we just can't get the lights on yet. We can't get the furniture yet or the gas on yet. I said, this is the best crack house in the world right now. I think I had 90 days, and I had money in my pocket that I didn't tell him. Secrets keep you sick. I didn't tell him. And it reminded me of the crack house because there was no lights, no. And I was like, oh, I got like $500 or six. I say, ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm out the door and I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm out the door and I'm rolling. I'm telling you, man. God has always been central, because I heard this young lady share a lot about God. God has always been central on my journey. I'm gone and I'm almost at the bus stop because I ain't have a car or nothing. And God stopped me and said, call your sponsor. What is the odds of having $700 in your pocket with 7 months clean and a crack house? What's the odds of me stopping? I called my sponsor, man. And when I called him, he picked up, first of all, the miracle, he picked up the phone in that moment. And as soon as he picked up the phone, all I did was start bawling. Bawling. I ain't say a word to him. I just start bawling. And all he did was listen. And about 2 minutes went by, he says, welcome to recovery. I love you. Call me tomorrow. I turned around, went back in that dark house, and I've been here ever since. There's just been so many moments on my journey. Another one I think that was a program. I had to leave that one, that program, because it was only a 2-year program, and they were wanting to give me Section 8, and I was like, okay. And they sent me this paper, and they said, okay, we want you to go look at this. And it was like, anybody know the Hill District? Okay. They wanted me to go into the projects, because I lived in the Bronx. I know what the real project was like. And I went up there, and I was like, oh, hell no. I think I had like 2 years clean. Look what I did. This is the honest God truth. I wrote on the same paper. I said,
I am in recovery. God does not want me to stay here. And I sent it in. That's the truth. I sent it in. A week later, I got another letter, and they said, go look at this place. It was a 2.5-bedroom house. From the project to a 2.5-bedroom house. And I've been there ever since. Garage. What a garage. And let me tell you how God orchestrated this. All I had to do was stay in position because his mother passed away. My daughter's mother, she's not in her life. She's using somewhere. God already knew. He already had the house set up for me and my son and my daughter. He had it all set up. He knew what was going to happen. All I had to do was stay in position. And I've been there ever since, man. So many miracles. Please don't leave 5 minutes before the change happens. Because it's coming. One thing I learned on my journey, it's not my time. It's God's timing. That way, I got to get out of the damn way. Because how am I going to control God's timing? He has perfect timing. I got to get out of the way. So I've learned on this journey, the more I stay here, just when I think it's over, here he comes. Just when I think, man, I'm getting ready to go over the ledge, here he comes every time. I can make a mountain out of a molehill. And so I got this new sponsor. I had him for like 6 months. He's a gay man. He doesn't mind as telling y'all that. I love this man. He's the right man for me. Oh, man. Perfect. At first, I was scared. You know what I'm saying? Because they talk about we got to do something different. I was scared. What is my boys going to think in the program? What are they going to think? What is my boys going to think? We've gone on trips and everything. What are they going to think? And they told me in Narcotics Anonymous, you can't save your ass and your face at the same time. Do you want to live? Do you want to get better, Paul? I got somebody just for you who's going to help you get better. Or do you want to look at how they're going to look at you? Man, I love my sponsor, man. He's a beast. He gives me exactly what I need. They told me I got to do something different on this journey continuously. That's how we grow. So it's been tough being a single dad, though. It really has. But I stuck and I stayed, man. Just today, my son, he's spoiled. He just got, I don't know if y'all got Facebook, if y'all know me, Chris seen it. He just got the MVP of the tournament, basketball tournament, the other day. He gets a 3.53. He's almost with the college classes. He got 4.0. I don't know how the hell he does this because y'all know he couldn't have got it from me. I mean, I went back to school and got my master's, but this boy, he plays basketball. He still get a 4.0. He's a good kid. I don't know how he can play this. I don't know how he does all this. But he's blessed. He's blessed. But what I'm trying to say is because I stayed, if I would have left, his whole life would have been different. We matter. Every last one of us matter. God didn't give not one of us the ability not to matter. We matter. You know, and so I just texted him. He texted me, he says, you left me here with no water or no waffles. And no waffles. I was like, what? I felt because that's what I did my whole A lot of my beginning of my journey for 10 years, man, as a single dad, I'm working, I'm going to school, I'm taking care of kids, I'm dealing with acting, and you know, and I'm just surviving and I'm moving, and I feel inadequate when he says, there's no waffle.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to take a stand. Son, you're old enough to know that I'm leaving. You should be able to tell me that there was no waffles or no water. He texts back and said, I was asleep. So I got to take on the father and the mother role. And don't get it twisted. At first I wouldn't give him love, man. I didn't hug my son after he got like 12. I didn't hug him. And I didn't know what that was about. And that was about my hurt and my anger, but my dad wasn't being there. And I recently, my sponsors, they got me to start. They said, just grab him and hug him. One day he's in the bedroom and he start crying. I'm like, what the hell are you crying about? More tough. What are you crying about? And it hit me. He's grieving his mother. And I grabbed him and we just sat, we fell to the ground. We just cried. I let him cry right on me. About 2 weeks ago, we got into it. And I said, I was mad at him because I let him drive my new car. And he didn't tell me that the thing was broke, the stick shift. I said, son, that's just dangerous. We got into it. And guess what y'all taught me? Closing up. Guess what y'all taught me? Who here does the 10th step? Let's get honest. Who admits promptly when they're wrong? Let's get honest. So I know that I went in on them too hard, right? But in this moment, man, I'm going to tell y'all this. God has touched my life with my son. Because when I first got clean, when I got that apartment, that house I'm in now, his mother wasn't there. And I remember he was like 2 years old. And at 2 years old, all they want is love. Mother, right? They want hugs and love. And every time he's touching me, I'm like, oh my God, please. I ain't telling him that, but inside I was like, yo, quit touching me. I wanted to say, stop. And y'all said, do what you don't want to do. So I just sat there and I let him touch me. I let him hug me. And gradually I grabbed him. And gradually I stuck hugging on him. God could use whatever's in my life and my journey to help me in my recovery. So I close with this, man. I went back to school, got my master's. I'm working as a mental health therapist, and it's still rough raising two kids. I got a 14-year-old daughter. Oh my God. Oh my God. 14-year-old daughter. They're different. They're different. And she yearns for her mother, who's not in her life. She's using. She's somewhere out of state. And guess what I would do? Guess what I'll do? I'll say, I'm the father. Rrr, you listen to me. I'll stick my chest out. Rrr. And that don't work. But it does help. It does help being a father because they listen to that. Rrr. But I had to go from rrr to let's talk. I can't use old rules in this new way of life. I have to learn I have to go through the transformation to become the man that I am today. Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life. I was driving up here, and I'll close this. I finally figured out when they said,
what was it? It said,
no matter what, don't use. Anyway, what I finally figured out was, thank God for the grace that he put me on this journey. For his grace, as we stay here, it goes from being a complicated recovering addict to gravitating towards the simplicity of this program, which is being in God's grace. Because they told me when I got here, there's a time where you're going to recognize that you are under the care of. If you're new, it takes time. to get to the simplicity, to live the simplicity of this program. And thank God that it do. Because if God would have gave that to me at a year clean, I wouldn't appreciate it. God knows exactly what he's doing. The steps know exactly what they're doing. My last sponsor used to say to me all the time, he says, Paul, God knows exactly what he's doing. It's you. It's you. And when I learn how to get out of the way, I've learned that I cannot get out my own way. I got to get out of God's way. Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life. I really appreciate you guys. Thanks for letting me share.